Welcome to the Private Practice with Soul podcast. My name is Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and I help private practice owners align their business back with their soul's calling, with their big vision, and with their soul's purpose. Unlike other private practice coaches, I've traveled the world in search of spiritual resources, spiritual tools, education, and information so that you can have the transformation that your soul desires and needs, so that you can up-level your business. How much fun is this? I love it so much. Guys, if you're not already a member of the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group, please check out the show notes. I would love for you to be there. In the meantime, thank you so much for pushing play today. Let's begin. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast. I am so pleased that you're here today. Yay! If I sound a little bit breathy, it's because, I have a little bit of a secret to share with you. I'm actually on my flex week this week, which, I work 3 weeks out of the month and I take the fourth week off from client work so that I can work on my business and have a rest and go away and do all of those sorts of nice things. But when I came to write the notes for the podcast today, and I was sitting down thinking about what would my audience really like to hear, and I was tuning into my inner guidance and I was listening to my body and I was seeing what was coming up, and now I've got this really great topic. I'm so excited to talk with you about it. But I also am very mindful this year of integrating my masculine and my feminine energy. And so I was sitting there and I was kind of reflecting, I'm planning, I'm mapping out, I'm getting all this stuff ready for the podcast. I'm setting up my equipment. I thought they're all very masculine things. I thought I really want to do something that will help me get into my feminine so that I can really show up the best today. And so I thought I'd do a bit of a dance. It's so embarrassing, but I really love listening to music that puts me in a really good mood. And at the moment, as the women in the private practice membership will attest to, I think it was last week or the week before, I shared that I really love listening to a particular song at the moment. You know how you just get stuck on one? At the moment, for me, it's Lonely Boy by the Black Eyed Keys And what I love to do is just put that on YouTube, and I love watching the guy dance, and then I play it really loudly and I try and copy his dancing, and I'm very uncoordinated, but it makes me so happy. And so I thought, yeah, I'll do that before I jump on the podcast. So I will settle down in a minute. But anyway, I'm feeling very integrated now, which is nice. So yes, welcome. Thank you very, very, very much for pushing play on another episode. And of course, welcome to the new subscribers. And I had a huge milestone this week, which was 8,000 downloads. So thank you so much to everyone. And just on that, if you have a podcast at the moment, but it's not getting much traction, or if you're thinking of starting a podcast, let me just say very, very quickly, like, I've had my podcast for, I think it's about 2 years now, or maybe a bit longer. In the beginning, I wasn't taking it seriously because I didn't really know what to do. I just kind of liked the idea of having one. And I think it started off as, it was called something different. It's had three facelifts in the 2 or 3 years I've had it. It was called originally Manifest Change, and then it went to Business Acceleration Podcast, and now it's Private Practice with Soul. I didn't do what some other people do, you know, when they change the title of their podcast, they go back and republish all their old episodes. But I didn't do that because I, you know, one of my core brand values, of course, is being open and transparent. And I don't think there's any shame in showing people that your podcast has gone through big transformations. Mine certainly has. And I'm happy to share the journey so you can see how it evolves and you can see that it's okay for yours to evolve too. But one of the reasons I started it was I was loving the connection in my groups at the time. And I was inspired by what was going on to start a podcast. I wasn't really seeing it as an avenue for business. And then as I kept podcasting and talking about my podcast, it became clearer that this could absolutely be something that was going to help support my business. So then I started taking it a bit more seriously. And then I think it's been the last, I'd have to check, I don't know. I think it's been about the last 6 months now. I've been publishing 2 episodes a week, one on Wednesdays and one on Saturdays. And it's probably all starting to come together now in terms of the effect that it's having on my business. And I know this is going to be different for everybody's podcasts, but I have a very small niche, but they're a very loyal niche. So most of the time people come to this podcast and they'll stay, and then they'll go and listen to previous episodes and stuff like that. I have a really high retention rate, which is fantastic. So thank you so much for sticking around. But it's really been maybe the last 3 or 4 months that I have become to really notice that more and more women that I'm talking with are bringing up things that have been discussed on the podcast. And they're saying to me, oh, you know, I really love that podcast you did about masculine and feminine energy, or, and that got me thinking about my practice. And yeah, that's what I want to work with you more on. Or somebody else will say, oh, I really loved what you were saying about visibility, and that landed for me. And yeah, I want to get some coaching around that because nobody had kind of explained it in that way before. And I'm really keen to learn more and how it can apply to my practice. And so I'm sharing this with you because I don't want you to feel disheartened if you're not seeing results from your podcast yet. I think what is working for me now, and it's very early days, it's only a baby podcast. It's in terms of the lifetime of podcasts, it's only like a matter of months old, like maybe 36 months if I'm lucky. But I just want you to know that if you stand for something, if you have a point of view, if you have an opinion, that's okay. You might not get the millions of numbers, but you don't need the millions of numbers. That's not what your intention is, I don't think. I don't think anybody in our industry starts out with the intention of getting a million followers on their podcast. I think we, working in a soul-informed way, I think I speak for many of us when we say our intention is really to help people, or some people say to serve, or to show up, or to give value, or do you know what I mean? Or, I think that's our intention. And it doesn't matter if you do that for one person or if you do that for a million. But I think when you're working in a niche area, or when you're standing for something specific, yes, your numbers are going to be smaller, but you're going to be speaking to the right people. And that's what's happening with this podcast now. It's all sort of coming together now, but it's taken time. And so if you're just at the beginning of your journey, maybe listen to this, take it on board. Everyone's journey is different, but it can take time. As I said, it's taken me a couple of years. But I also had to go through my own journeys and shifts with the podcast as well during that time. And yeah, you can absolutely do it. You can absolutely use the podcast to fill your diary, to help get you clients, to help with your visibility, all of those sorts of things. So don't give up. You're going to really love today's episode, which I'll get to in a moment. But first of all, I want to tell you about this new toy that I bought. I'm so excited. I don't know what your desk is like if you're working from home, or maybe if you're working at the office, but since I've been working from home, I've got scrap bits of paper everywhere. You know, like I've got my new computer and, you know, I love that. And I've set up the spare bedroom as an office. It's all going really well. But I'm one of those people that's got like a gazillion different notebooks that I'm constantly writing in. I rarely look back through them, but at the time I feel like compelled and obsessed to write in them. And then as the day goes on, I've got all these scraps of paper lying around. Like at the moment, we're doing an alignment challenge in my group. And so I've got like 5 or 6 pages of the alignment challenge printed out that I'm working on every day. And then I've got bits of paper for client work that I'm doing, bits of paper for my sales copy that I'm updating, bits of paper that I'm taking notes on, or I'm doing some courses at the moment as well. So I'm watching the trainings in there. And so I've got more scraps of paper for that. And you know, it's just been a mess. But last Sunday I ordered, wait for it, it's called a Remarkable 2. And you know what, I found it on Instagram about 12 months ago and I really wanted one then, but I didn't pursue it. But anyway, on Sunday last week, I just decided, yeah, I'm going to. And guess what? It arrived yesterday and it's called a Remarkable 2. And what it is it's about the size of an iPad, but it's not as thick. Like it's approaching maybe, I don't know. It's so thin. It's so thin. It's, I don't even know what you know, Lindt chocolate. It's about that thin. You know, if you snap Lindt chocolate, it's about that thin. How cool is that? And anyway, what it does is it's just like a notepad. So you get this stylus with it And the way that they have made the Remarkable is it feels like you're just writing on paper. And anyway, you can choose all these different pen types like ballpoint, calligraphy, felt tip, mechanical pencil, grey lead, everything. And it's got like a matte surface, no backlight. And what I really love about it is there's no social media on it. There's no internet on it. It has a cloud where you can, you know, store your notes, or you can email yourself your notes. So basically what you do is you just like handwrite. You use this to, it's like an endless pile of paper that you can just keep writing on, and you can store all your notes into different notebooks and folders and stuff like that, keep it all really nicely organized. And it's even got a function on it where you can convert your handwriting into actual text. How cool is that? And so anyway, it arrived yesterday. It took me about 5 minutes to get it set up and to create like a little account on the cloud and put a little app on my mobile and my computer. But I am obsessed. So this morning I started making little folders and notebooks, and it's just going to feel so free not to be surrounded by scrap paper anymore. I just feel like this is going to clear my mind and clear my energy, and nothing's going to get lost, and oh, it's heaven. And it's magnetic. So yeah, my little pen just snaps onto the side there because of all these little magnets, and I just love it so much. But anyway, that's my new baby. So, and I'm not affiliated with Remarkable or anything. I'm just sharing with you my latest toy. And yes, you can use it to take notes for client sessions, and you just email them to yourself or save it to the cloud. It's all encrypted, meets all the privacy. This is super exciting. I love it. Anyway, today's episode. Wait. Just before I start today's episode, I want to give you an update. So we had Day on Demand last week. So Day on Demand, I told you about in last Wednesday's episode. That's where people get to work with me for a whole day, and we do it by audio only. And so we had the test and trial phase over the last 2 weeks. Five women went through it, and oh my gosh, the feedback has been so good. It's like they said it's like having me in their pocket. Somebody said it was like having me give them a 1 or 2 hour session, but stretched out over the course of a day. Somebody else said it really helped her having that accountability throughout the day to get things, progressing, and she was able to shift the needle on things. Somebody else said having me available all day to them, or throughout the day rather, helped her really dive more deeply into some of the obstacles and challenges she was experiencing in her practice. And somebody else said that we were able to get a few breakthroughs in terms of her mindset and stuff like that, and by the end of the day her practice had completely transformed. So guys, this is now a live product that you can purchase, and I'm so excited to share it with you. And if you'd like more information, I'll put the link in the show notes, but you are going to love it. I think the benefits of it are that you don't have to commit to like a coaching program, you don't have to commit to a supervision program. Some of the ladies said that what they really liked about it was different to a Zoom session that you have with me one-on-one, where you've got to get through everything in those 50 to 60 minutes. By being able to take that same amount of time, or even a bit longer, and stretch that out throughout the course of the day, there was time to actually implement action steps and get real-time feedback and make tweaks and changes, and then get more real-time feedback. And this really meant that people were able to not only implement but complete things to a really high standard, and that for them was more valuable than having the pressure that can be sometimes experienced in that, you know, Zoom session, or even in a phone call session. So if it's something you'd like to try, go for it. Like, you're absolutely invited to book that day. A day goes from 8 a.m. till 4 p.m. and we just exchange messages throughout the day. And yeah, you can go read more about it on the website, but it was invaluable. The other thing that we did learn was that it's not great for technical things. So one of the ladies wanted to get some help, you know, setting up Facebook ad, and she hadn't done Facebook ads before, which is fine. But what we learned was that doing something really technical like that, that does become quite complex sometimes, especially if you're new to it and you haven't seen Ads Manager and you don't have an ad account and you don't have a pixel. Trying to do that over audio is nigh on impossible, or it was for us anyway. So it's probably not great for technical things like that, but certainly it works for things like, dealing with dilemmas, dealing with obstacles, dealing with challenges, getting support, getting guidance. Somebody said it would be really helpful for her, when she's got to write reports and she's needing some, like a sounding board. So you can use it for all of those kinds of things, but I think maybe technical stuff like setting up a Facebook ad, probably not fantastic. That's probably something you need a visual for, where we can screen share. I can look over your shoulder and give you some direction. You can look over my shoulder and see how I do it. That would be a lot easier. But other than that, all good. Now, today's episode is about daring. I know, daring. As you have probably become very aware, being daring is one of my brand values. I have 5 brand values, but being daring is one of my very, 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 very favorite ones. And I know just the thought of being daring is probably making some of your toes curl in fear. You're probably thinking, oh no, if I be daring in my practice, the APS police are going to come and get me, or the PACFA police are going to come and get me. No, 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 no. Breathe. Just in. Out. Just relax, just have an open mind, and let's just talk about what daring is and what it can look like in your practice safely and ethically, and why it's one of my brand values and why I think it absolutely should be one of your brand values too if it's not already. So what is an act of daring? I think an act of daring is when somebody does something out of the ordinary. They do something that requires a little bit of bravery. They do something that requires a little bit of courage. It's not vanilla. They're not being too general about things. It's kind of almost taking a little bit of a risk, isn't it? And I think some of us are better at managing risk than others, and that's okay. But I think daring is also just seeing if you can, push that boundary just a little bit. So why is this one of my brand values and why do I love it so much? Even though it does cause me to have a little bit of anxiety too before I do it, but I think that that's healthy anxiety. You want to be alert before you post something that's a little bit daring, or you do something that's a little bit daring, because of course you want to do it safely and ethically and all of those sorts of things. But I believe that it was in part being daring that got me to where I am in my practice today. And since I've had that experience of being daring, I continue to do it. So for me, I guess being daring really happened a few years ago when I started openly talking in my professional community, which was psychologists at that time, about things like manifesting and law of attraction. And it was a very daring move to make. It required me to be bold. I mean, at the time, I didn't go into it with that mindset. I just went into it because I was passionate about it. And you know how, like, when you're in love, you just want to shout it from the rooftops? That's how I was feeling about manifesting and universal laws at the time. I just wanted to shout it from the rooftops because I was like, oh my gosh, this helps so many people in so many ways. And it's so consistent with what we learn about in psych. And yes, I can see how a lot of this can look like it's evidence-based, because we're talking about beliefs and, taking action and setting goals and all of that sort of stuff. And so I was madly passionate about it. And, I didn't realize, I wasn't being intentionally daring at the time, but I didn't realize that it was daring to do that until I copped flak for it. That's okay. Because what that taught me was that, hang on, here is something that's triggering for some people and it's not for other people, and da-da-da-da-da. I did take a day or two to reflect on whether or not I wanted to continue down that path. And what happened over that day or two was that I got a lot of private messages from other women who were psychologists saying to me they really love this stuff too, but they'd been too afraid to talk about it. And I guess when I started to receive those messages, what I realized was that, okay, maybe this is part of my purpose. Maybe You know, there's other women. Well, clearly there were other women that were interested, but they were too afraid to speak up about it. And they were too afraid to talk openly about it for fear of being judged, right? What happened to me was their worst fear. And so they were feeling connected to me already. And I guess that realization made me see that I had kind of a little bit of a responsibility to stand up for something and to voice what I believed in. And that really aligned with my other values at the time of having integrity and authenticity. It wouldn't have been authentic for me to shut my voice down and to dim my light to accommodate other people's insecurities. And that wouldn't have felt, you know, like I was living in integrity either. So what happened then was I became aware that what I was doing was actually daring. And I kind of just thought, well, hey, maybe this is going to work for me. And maybe this is what my audience really need right now. And so I just started doing it more and more and more. And you know what? Over time, I created a reputation of being somebody that steps outside the box. And I also developed a brand reputation for, I just got distracted by Clubhouse. That's a whole other story. I also developed a brand reputation for working with soul, working with spirit, working with energy, and integrating that into private practice. And it continues to be triggering for people today. But at the same time, there's also more and more women that are starting to find me as a result of me being able to be daring enough to step into this space. So I think, you know, daring became a value for me when I saw the positive impact it had for the people that I was trying to connect with. It made me so much easier to find. It made us be able to relate to each other more easily. I don't have to explain myself a lot to people who are now approaching me because we're all on the same page. We all kind of get it. We all appreciate, yes, there is a role. I'm not having to convince anybody. And so it's almost as if, this is how it feels, but it's almost as if my values are now creating a movement. And this is what I want to create. I really want to create a movement in you know, the helping industries, this movement, especially in psychology and social work and counseling. I really want to create this movement around it being not only okay, but it being essential to healing and helping clients on their journeys to integrate not only the body and not only the mind, which psychology and social work do really, really well, but also embody spirit. I do believe that there is a, you know, a three-way relationship here. It's mind, body, and spirit. And spirit gets overlooked, whether you want to call it spirit or soul or energy or source or, you know, whatever the word is that you use. We're all in agreement that we're talking about the same thing. It's just different language. But I think it's often been overlooked. And you know what? I've spoken about Jung before, but Jung did it really, really well, especially with the work that he contributed to the field on archetypes. And there are schools of thoughts, there are schools of therapy, there are memberships and organizations for therapists that love this stuff. But I think we could do more. And I think there are absolutely ways to integrate spirit and spirituality into how we run our private practice, how we write our policies, how we write our procedures. You know, it's values-based marketing. It's looking at, you know, what do I really value in my practice? And then how can I ensure that every touch point a client has or a stakeholder has with my soul-led practice, they're getting that experience of my values. That becomes your marketing. So if you're not somebody who wants to be in front of a camera doing Facebook lives, you know, use your practice and use your soul alignment tools as your marketing. Use all of those touch points as your marketing, and you do that through your values. So if you're wondering, for those of you who are open to the idea of standing up for something or standing for what you believe in, I'm going to share with you a process that I use. Now, it's not something you want to use all the time. In fact, if you go back through my Facebook posts, you'll see I use it maybe 4 or 5 times a year. The tool that I'm going to share with you is about a polarizing post. So polarizing posts really are exactly that. It's when you stand for something and you take a strong point of view, right? So for me, in the past, some of my polarizing posts have been about incorporating spirituality into private practice. It was very polarizing. A polarizing post is when you're going to end up with some people really 110% loving everything that you're saying, and they're going to express that by telling you, where have you been all my life? This is exactly what I needed to hear right now. But it's going to be equally distressing or upsetting, or, you know, for other people who are going to come at you and say, well, usually they pull the ethics card and they're going to say, well, that's not ethical and you shouldn't be talking about that, you know. Or that they're going to say, oh, I don't like that, or I disagree, or you're wrong. And then what happens is there can be, like, between the two groups, the ones who really agree with what you're saying and the ones who don't, what can then happen is they will start interacting with each other. And it's really interesting to see this unfold, because it gives you a opportunity to take the temperature of what's going on in the industry. Plus, when you stand for something, it gets you seen. And the value in getting you seen is that it means that over time, you're going to be attracting clients to work with you who are already on the same page as you, who know you, like you, trust you, who are your biggest fans, all of those sorts of really, really good things. But it takes a little bit of bravery to be able to put up a polarizing post. The way to do it is to really think about, you know, what, even just think about this, right? What is one of the most commonly held beliefs in your industry, right? And why do you disagree with that? Okay. So, like, for example, there are so many counselors, not all, but I see it a lot, that there are counselors in different counseling groups that still talk a lot about how it's not fair that they're not on Medicare and why won't doctors refer to them, and they've sent out marketing materials to doctors and they're not getting referrals, and they'll keep going on and on and on about Medicare. And so I can write a polarizing post about, you know, why are you still going on about Medicare? And I can write this post from a place of soul alignment, where I believe that they have gifts to share above and beyond Medicare, that there are plenty of psychologists who've dropped Medicare because they don't agree with it, that Medicare is not the be-all and end-all, that there is an abundance of clients that are willing to pay you for your service if you just show up and let them know that you're available. Do you know what I mean? All of those sorts of things. But some of that's going to be triggering for people to hear, because they hold a belief that they should be on Medicare. So if I come along and say, well, let's look at that belief and why do you hold that? And hey, what if we can open you up a little bit to seeing what's possible for you beyond the scope of Medicare? And how about you just create your own space and stand in that? Some people are going to say, hey, Brooklyn, I really agree. That's, my gosh, I didn't think of it like that before. Yes, blow Medicare. I will go and mark my territory somewhere and be known for something and work with clients that I want to work with. Maybe I don't even want to be working with complex mental health or things like that, right? But there'll be other people who say, no, it's not fair. We're just as competent as everybody else. So can you see there's going to be this arguing almost? And so when that happens, what it means for you is that there's eyes getting on your post. And what it means for you is that you're starting to build a reputation for what you stand for. And so if you're and so I'm just using an example from my work, but if you're a therapist, or, you know, if you're a coach or something like that, then you just do it for your industries. You'll be able to attract the people who get you and understand you, and it just this is how you get to have a practice that you feel energized by. Every single one of my clients energizes me. The work that we do in our online sessions, and even the emails that I get from them and the Facebook messages that I get from them in between our sessions, they are energizing to me. I love working with these women because we're all on the same page. And it's just, I never feel like, oh my gosh, I wish I didn't have to go into work. And here's the thing, I got to this point by being daring, by doing things like having a polarizing post or a polarizing podcast. And yes, it is risky. And yes, your anxiety is going to be elevated before you hit publish on your polarizing post. And you don't have to do a long post. It might only be a paragraph. It might just be a quote. You will feel a little bit anxious because you probably haven't done anything like this before. You're probably wondering what's going to happen. I think too, a lot of us might be wondering, oh, I don't want everybody to hate me, or what if people don't like me, or what if somebody complains about me? What if? That's anxiety speaking, all right? Bring yourself back to your soul. Get out of your head. You know, thank your head for saying, you know, thanks for bringing this to my attention, but I'm going to check in with my soul. And put your hands on your heart and breathe into it and just check in with yourself. Is this something that I want to share? Is this true to me? Is this true for my audience? And if you get the guidance that it is, go for it. And you know what? When people do start posting negative responses and negative replies, I want you to remember this. It's very rarely about you. It's not about you personally. They're attacking out of you putting up something that conflicts with one of their beliefs. Okay. And we all know what that's like. When somebody puts up something that we don't believe in or that we disagree with, it's a natural inclination to want to respond. Okay. And so take it for face value. That's all that's happening. It's nothing personal. If you need support while you're doing a polarizing post, or you want somebody to look over it before you post it, let me know and I can absolutely help you with that. We've got a big support group available for you with the Australian Counsellors in Private Practice online, and also with the private practice membership. There's a whole lot of women that will back you in terms of doing that polarizing post. And you want to do it because I want you to be able to start attracting people. Instead of selling, I want you to start attracting people. And this, you have to be the light so that they can see you and they can fly to you. Does that make sense? Okay, so all of this, as you've probably picked up on by now, is really an approach that I have around values-based marketing. And it's something that infuses every podcast, every post, the way I work with my clients. And it's not selling, it's just you being able to live your values. And it's by you living your values that you attract clients to you without having to, you know, be pushing things onto them and you know, putting products and offers in front of them all the time, which can feel very uncomfortable for some of us, right? So if you would like some guidance around values-based marketing so that you can attract people without selling to them, if that would feel more comfortable for you, I do have a couple of places left in my coaching program. And if you're interested in finding out what a coaching program with me looks like, and you'd like some more information about it, or you'd even like to jump on a quick call together and we can see if we're a good fit, just let me know. I always put my email in the show notes, and I would love to support you with that because your results are my results, and I'm here to show you that you can have a successful private practice that's ethical and aligns with your purpose. You can do it, guys. I believe in you. Okay, so I am going to leave it there. Thank you very, very much for listening. I look forward to hearing from you in the next episode. If you love this, please share it. You know, I really, 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 really want to support other women in private practice as well. Let them feel less isolated. Thanks so much for your support, guys. Have a beautiful day, and I hope this helped. And yeah, if you do a polarizing post, tag me in it so that I can support you. I'll be your biggest super fan. Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast today. If you're looking for clarity, if you need help with branding, your processes, and bringing everything into alignment with your soul's purpose for your private practice, head to the show notes and click the link for more information about the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group. You are going to love it. I can't wait to see you in there. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.